Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
It's here! Spring has sprung!
Yeah, I don't believe that.
First day of spring officially, calendar-wise anyway. Weather-wise, it began like 6 weeks ago.
No joke.
Except for those little cold spells that Mommy Nature throws at us for her bipolar reasons.
Either way, whether it's warm or cold, welcome to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Pat Payone and Wally hanging out with you over the next 2 hours, and got a lot to break down. Not only in the world of college basketball, because what an incredible weekend. The Thursday-Friday wasn't that great. I have to admit, Thursday-Friday wasn't that great. Yeah. Saturday-Sunday was awesome.
Good games, yes.
Saturday-Sunday was awesome, so we're going to talk about that. Some other discussions up there, definitely talking about what's happening in the NBA and a trend that is just not good for the product of the NBA. It is. It's starting to be a snoozer. We've got a great interview for you today as well from the Golf Academy of America, and I will get his name in just a little bit, but he's going to be joining me in the second hour. The president of the Golf Academy of America will be joining me. So they have a huge open house coming up this Friday, so that's, we're trying to get him on the air, let him plug that for you, and hopefully get some of our listeners out there to, you know, check out their golf game and maybe start a new career. Who knows? Who knows? You never know. Yeah. But starting off today's show, we got to start with Coastal Carolina. Oh, man, it's been a tough start to the season for the Chanticleers. They start off on Friday against Texas State, opening up their Sun Belt Conference slate, the first season in the Sun Belt for the Chanticleers baseball team. And it wasn't a good start. You know, Ryan Newman, who was 5-for-7 in this game, hit a leadoff home run in the 14th inning. In the 14th inning. To lead Texas State to a 5-4 victory over number 20 Coastal Carolina. This was the team, both teams' conference opener, and marked Coastal Baseball's first Sun Belt Conference contest. With the win, Texas State improves to 11-7. With the loss, the Chanticleers fall to 11-8 after this game. Now, both teams had numerous opportunities in extra innings. Coastal Carolina actually left 4 runners on base, and Texas State had 7 left on base in those extra innings. Once you get to that point in the game, you got to put some runs across the board to try and get the win. I'm sure they weren't not trying, but that's the most opportune time to go ahead and try and get the win, especially with the bases loaded or anybody on base. But for the third consecutive outing, Alex Cunningham pitched well, but once again did not factor in the decision. He left with a 3-1 lead in the seventh inning, and his final line was 6 2/3 inning pitched, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. They moved on to Saturday's game, and Coastal Carolina got this one back. They ended up winning Game 2 of this series 4-3, and it was Dalton Ewing who accounted for the team's first 3 runs with a 2-out home run. And then it was a 2-out home run by Seth Lancaster in the 8th inning that really proved to be the difference for Coastal Carolina to win the back-and-forth game that was Saturday. With that win, they moved to 12-8. The Bobcats of Texas State moved to 11-8. They had a rubber match yesterday, and it did not go the way of the Chanticleers. Texas State scored 5 runs in the 7th inning to post a 10-7 come-from-behind win over the Chanticleers, and that was the opening series for both teams in the Sun Belt, as I mentioned earlier. And now, with this, this is the final now. I'm not going to give you another record after this one. The Bobcats of Texas State improved to 12-8 overall, 2-1 in the Sun Belt. Chanticleers fall to 12-9, 1-2 in the Sun Belt. And the game really spoiled an excellent afternoon for Seth Lancaster, who reached base in each of his last 5 batting attempts with 3 home runs. He was 3-for-3 on Sunday with 2 home runs, 3 runs scored, and 4 RBIs. Zach Hopek suffered the loss after he allowed 4 hits and 5 hits in 1 2/3 innings of relief. Coastal Carolina will not play again until they host Arkansas State for a weekend series at Springsbrook Stadium. So that'll be Friday through Sunday. We will have tickets for you later on the week. Also, got to give you an update to our Million Dollar Madness Bracket Challenge. Starting off with myself, I have 31 points. That's not good. 31 points is not good. That's out of a possible, I think, 48, I believe.
Well, a lot of brackets got busted over the weekend. Saturday and yesterday especially.
We actually had two individuals have perfect brackets going into Saturday, and then within the first two games, were not perfect any longer. Yeah. But right now, it is a five-way tie for first place in our bracket challenge between CDRIG, CD Rig, I don't know, 39 points. J Billet, 82, 39 points. Simply named Mike, 39 points.
Keep it simple, Mike.
Wrist Bits, 2, has 39 points as well. And then rounding out the top five, USC Mom, 39 points.
Cool.
All tied for first place.
Go Mama.
Yeah.
I hope she wins.
I hope so, too. Now, if we were actually looking at potential score left, Mike has the most points left with 51. Then you would say it's Rispitz 2 and J. Binlet 82, or J.B. Inlet. It could be that, actually. Okay. I didn't even think about that. J.B. Inlet, they both have 49 points that they could possibly total throughout the rest of the tournament. I am so far down the list. I'm 87th right now out of 125, I think we got into it.
Ooh.
Yeah, not good. Moving on to another loss for the drive. You know, we have our Friday Pick'em contest every Friday. And this weekend, we did six different NBA games, and we included, you know, who would score more in two of the games. We got our butts whooped. We got our butts whooped bad. I went 5-3. Wally went 4-4. And James, our guest, went 7-1. The only thing he missed was the Boston Celtics losing to the Philadelphia 76ers, or he would have gone a perfect 8-8.
Wow,
so
James.
Yeah, congratulations, 7-1. I think that's got to be the best record we've had all season.
He must be Irish, because Friday was St. Patrick's Day, so he had the luck of the Irish with him or something.
Knowing his last name, he very well could be Irish.
Well, James, he's got to be, right?
James, I'll go ahead and give you a call after today's show and let you know what you can pick up from our prize center here at the station, and I'll give you a call after that and let you know. Congratulations again to James, who beat the brakes off of Wally and I this weekend. Again, Wally 4-4, myself 5-3, and James brought the house 7-1.
You know, I always pick something different, so we're not the same. Even when I feel the same about games, I'm going to stop doing that and see if I can improve.
Do it. It doesn't matter if we tie.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I tie.
I don't care about winning. It's just the fun. The fun of it all. You know?
I care about winning. That's all I care about. I don't do it well. So, to each his own. I mean, if you don't care about winning, you don't care about winning.
It's how you play the game.
It is. You're right. You're right. All right, Wally, let's get into today's day in birthdays and today's day in history. And today's birthdays are awesome. Real awesome. So starting off in 1945, this guy probably could have been my sports profile, but I didn't put him in there because there's someone who's better, I believe.
Wow.
But in 1945, Pat Riley, the NBA coach and executive who won four NBA championships as a head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1980s, and then a fifth championship as the head coach of the Miami Heat in 2006, and then they won another title, actually two titles, when LeBron James came to the Miami Heat. And where he was the executive. So, Pat Riley, today is your birthday. Happy birthday. March 20th, 1945 was when Pat Riley was born. Also born this day, March 20th, 1958, Ricky Jackson, NFL linebacker, Hall of Fame linebacker, who played for the New Orleans Saints and the San Francisco 49ers, where he did win Super Bowl 24 as a member of the 49ers. So, happy birthday to Ricky Jackson. Also born this day, born 1979 on this day, Daniel Cormier, UFC fighter. He's a wrestling-focused UFC fighter who started his career at the heavyweight position, transitioned to the light heavyweight position or weight class in 2014, and then took home the title for light heavyweight in 2015. Happy birthday, Daniel Cormier. One last one before I get into the sports profile. It is 1980 Jamal Crawford, the NBA point guard, who has won the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year Award with the Atlanta Hawks in 2010, and then has won it twice with the Clippers in 2014 and 2016. So, Jamal Crawford, happy birthday. That brings me to my sports birthday profile. Wally, tell us who our celebrity birthdays are today.
Celebs today. We know him as Dave on the War at Home. He also played Superboy in Copland, Ben and Hitch. Honky Dunwoodie and Spike Lee's Bamboozled, and Phoebe's Policeman Ex-Boyfriend on Friends, Michael Rapaport. is 47.
He's awesome.
He is pretty funny. Recently, he played the shady manager of New Edition in the New Edition story on BET. It's a pretty good series. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. I really enjoyed it.
Haven't seen it.
She is considered the richest model in the world with a net worth of $350 million. Thanks to all of her various product lines, Kathy Ireland is 54.
Okay.
And she hates St. Patrick's Day weekend because of her last name. She probably gets just, you know, worn out with that.
Does she like, was it Pepsi or Coke?
I don't know.
No, that's not.
I think she likes Dr. Pepper.
Cindy Crawford, isn't it?
I think she likes Dr. Pepper. She's a Peppa.
I can't remember.
She's a Peppa. And one of the guys from this band, the Stray Cats, he's also in a band called Headcat with Lemmy from Motorhead, but Slim Jim Phantom of the Stray Cats is 56 today, and he's going to be rocking this town tonight to celebrate his birthday. So happy B-Day to Slim Jim Phantom of the, of course, the main player of the Stray Cats is Brian Setzer, who he's just so awesome. Love me some Brian Setzer. And other celebrity birthdays going on today. A happy birthday going out to Holly Hunter, the actress, is 59.
Cool.
She's currently starring in TNT Saving Grace. She was the mom in The Incredibles, the petite Penny McGill in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. She also won an Oscar for The Piano, in which she didn't have a single line. She played a mute.
Yeah.
And she won just on her, I guess, nonverbal acting skills.
She was able to look, act well without
a
smile.
That was crazy that she won without even having to speak a line. That's a first for sure. And we know this little racial anger ball, whose real first name is Shelton. He directed the opening, the Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show theme, but he will probably not get a birthday card from Clint Eastwood or Quentin Tarantino. Spike Lee is 60 today. Happy birthday to Spike. Well, the actor who has Oscar nominations for the History of Violence as Best Supporting Actor, Best Actor in Broadcast News, and Children of a Lesser God. And he won Best Actor for playing a gay prison inmate in Kiss of the Spider Woman. He got nothing for the yuppie abomination that we know as The Big Chill, but William Hurt is 67.
Okay.
That's all I got. Who's our profile today?
Today's sports birthday profile is Bobby Orr, born on this day, 1948, Canadian former professional ice hockey player, widely acknowledged as one of the top three greatest hockey players of all time. He was a great ice skater. He had great speed on the ice. He was a scorer at the defense position. And he had really playmaking abilities that revolutionized the defenseman position in the NHL. But he played in 12 seasons in the NHL, starting with 10 with the Boston Bruins, followed by 2 with the Chicago Blackhawks. He remained the only defenseman to have won the league scoring title with 2 Art Ross trophies, which is pretty incredible. He holds the record for most points and assists in a single season by a defenseman. He won a record 8 consecutive Norris trophies as the defenseman, NHL's best defenseman, and 3 consecutive Hart trophies as the league's MVP. He also was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1979 at the age of 31, the youngest to ever be inducted at that time. Now, despite only playing 12 seasons and 365 games, of which only of his first 9 seasons totaled 621 games, he only played 47 games after his 27th birthday. That's incredible. That's incredible to put it that many games in your first 9 seasons and then only play 47 games after that. That's incredible. But as I mentioned, first and only defenseman to score 9 hat tricks in a game. He's the first defenseman to score 30 goals and 40 goals in a single season. First player to record 100 assists in a single season. He's the only defenseman to win the Art Ross Trophy, which is the league's leading scorer. Only player to ever win the Norris Trophy, Art Ross Trophy, Hart Trophy, and Conn Smythe Trophy in one single season. He is fourth in league history in career point per game average all time. And he is 63rd overall in league history in career assists and 104th in career points. One of the greatest, easily one of the greatest. Bobby Orr, born this day. All right, Wally, let's get into today's day in history. I start off in 1965. Where do you start?
I go back to 1964.
All right, take it away.
Man, didn't have music queued up. Shoot. In 64, the first Pink Panther movie was released. Do it for me. Starring the incomparable Peter Sellers as the bumbling inspector Clouseau. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Your children only know Steve Martin as Clouseau.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because the best Clouseau was definitely Peter Sellers.
That's bad.
He so embodied the role of the first Pink Panther. Of course, I prefer the cartoon that one. Anyway.
I prefer the cartoon.
Then I go to 82 from there.
All right, 1965, it was the 27th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship between UCLA and Michigan. UCLA was coached by John Wooden. They won the national title in this game, 91-80. And Michigan was actually coached by Dave Strack at the time. Bill Bradley of Princeton was named the tournament's most outstanding player. And UCLA finished this season with 28 wins and 2 defeats. In the championship game, they shot 57% from the field, with Gail Goodrich's 42 points and Kenny Washington's 17 points led the way. They became the fifth team to win consecutive national titles. So back on this day in 1965, UCLA beat Michigan to win back-to-back NCAA titles. I can go to 1973. Where was your next one?
I go to 82.
All right, so 1973, one of the great, great baseball players in MLB history, Roberto Clemente, elected into the Hall of Fame 11 weeks after his death. He was elected on this day, 1973. He spent 18 years in Major League Baseball in the National League as a right fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He became the first Latin American and Caribbean player to ever be enshrined into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, it was pretty incredible because his untimely death established the precedent that as an alternate to 5-year retirement period for people inducted into the Hall of Fame, a player who had been deceased for at least 6 months is eligible for entry into the Hall of Fame. Wow. So he changed the entire makeup of the Hall of Fame. But he was an all-star for 12 seasons and 15 all-star games he was actually a part of. He was the NL MVP in 1966, NL batting leader in 61, 64, 65, and 67. He was a gold glove winner for 12 consecutive seasons, and his batting average was over 300 for 13 seasons. That's incredible. Also played in 2 different World Series. He is the first Latin American and Caribbean player to help win a World Series as a starter and to receive an NL MVP award and to receive a World Series MVP award. So definitely a barrier breaker for Latin American and Caribbean players. We all know how his life tragically ended when he died in a plane crash in 72 en route to deliver aid to earthquake victims in Nicaragua, and he was 38 at the time of his death. Yes. I know he's one of your favorite players that you got to see live.
Yes, that was so cool. Roberto my dad Clemente. Lied, said he knew him personally because he's from Puerto Rico, but
maybe he did.
You know, it was funny because my dad, like, stay over here. He went over to the outfield fence and talk to him real quick, and he came over in maybe like 30 seconds, and I think he kept me aside so I wouldn't catch on, and he was lying. He probably said, so you're from Puerto Rico, what part, your family, you know, because I know how Latinos get, that's how they get, you
know? That's okay.
So, but it was funny, but yeah, I was really...
It made your day, right?
It did.
That's all that matters.
It was cool, man, until I found out what a liar my dad was in coming years as it went.
Oh, Lord. All right, my next one is 1990, Wally, so go ahead.
It was back in 1982 when this song was number one on the pop charts. Do you love rock and roll?
No.
Well, so does Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Number one on this day, and it stayed there for 7 straight weeks. I love rock and roll. Joan Jett, 35 years ago, number one this day.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I go to 99 for my last one.
All right, my last one is 1990, and this is the day in history where L.A. Laker great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got his number retired by the Lakers. And so I just want to go ahead and we've talked about so many different greats in the NBA.
Oh,
we've never really talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Incredible.
He played 20 seasons in the NBA for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers. Played center. He was a record 6-time NBA MVP. Recorded 19 times as an NBA All-Star, 15-time All-NBA selections, and an 11-time NBA All-Defensive team member. He was a member of 6 different NBA championships teams as a player, 2 as an assistant coach, and he was twice voted the NBA Finals MVP. After winning 71 consecutive basketball games on a high school team in New York, he then attended UCLA. And he was actually named, we all know this, Lou Alcindor when he played for UCLA and then changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he adopted the Muslim faith at the age of 24. But he played under Coach John Wooden at UCLA, and they won 3 consecutive NCAA championships, and he was a record 3-time MVP of the NCAA tournament. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, he was one of the key contributors to not only college basketball, but then the NBA. Especially that Showtime era of Laker basketball. But he, over his 20-year career in the NBA, He succeeded in making the playoffs 18 times of 20 years. That's incredible. Yeah. He also made it past the first round in 14 of those times, and it's his team that he was on reached the NBA Finals 10 times.
Yeah, he was.
That's incredible. That's
he
incredible.
He was the master of what I, in my time, believe was the most undefendable shot in the skyhook.
Oh, definitely.
Just couldn't stop it.
Definitely. It's definitely a art that has kind of lost nowadays.
It would be cool to see somebody bring it back.
Oh, yeah. At the time of his retirement in 1989, he was the NBA's all-time leading point scorer, games played leader, minutes played leader. He made the most field goals. He had the most field goal attempts, most blocked shots in the NBA, most defensive rebounds, and most personal fouls as well. And he remains the all-time leading scorer in the NBA still and is ranked third all-time in both rebounds and blocks, one of the great centers in NBA history. Now, as of recently, he was selected as a global cultural ambassador in 2012 by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at that time in 2012. And in 2016, he received the Presidential Medal of Honor from President Barack Obama. So pretty cool. Little detail to add on there at the
I
end.
I bet if he played today, he'd be skyhooking for three-pointers.
Probably.
I can just see
why
it,
not?
You know?
Why not?
He'd run out to the corner and just skyhook and
as long
bam,
as he can make
you know?
It.
He probably would. He was a baller.
He was. All right, wrap it up for us, Wally.
Let's see. Lastly, in 1999, 18 years ago, is when your children began to say, I want to go to Legoland, because that's when the theme park opened in Carlsbad, California. So happy birthday to Legoland.
Legoland.
And, of course, parents whose kids have Legos, I'm sure you've all had the old Lego embedded in the foot walking through the house at some point in time. Ouch!
Oh, yeah.
When I was home for last week for the funeral, stayed with my nephew, Pastor Paul Gonzalez. He's got 9 children. Okay. Two are teens. The rest are, he's got like 5 that are like below
ankle biters.
8, 7 years old. And there were Legos everywhere. I laid on a couple and down in the downstairs living room in the basement. I was like, Legos. I mean, my goodness, they're terrors. Like
they are.
Get away everywhere.
Have you also seen this new product that just came out? The Lego strip that you can attach to a wall, and so kids can build off of a wall. That way, they're not
3D.
Leaving their Legos.
I mean, they're 3D, but now it's like oh boy.
And they don't have to leave their Legos on the ground. They can just put them on the wall.
Yeah, I hope that will help, but I doubt it's going to.
Doubtful. You know? You're right. Doubtful.
That's crazy.
All right, let's tell the folks what they're hearing on today's show. We already went through Coastal Carolina baseball over the weekend, going 1-2 against Texas State to open up their Sun Belt Conference slate. We talked about the bracket for our Million Dollar Madness Bracket Challenge. 5 people tied atop. We'll go through that a little bit later again. And then we talked about Wally B and I getting schlepped by James in the Pick'em contest. We will also go through our Good, Bad, and Ugly as it is Monday. We do that every Monday. Good, Bad, and Ugly coming up in just a little bit. Surprise Sweet 16 teams. I rank the biggest surprise teams to be in the Sweet 16. We'll also talk about Jim Boeheim getting the extension of Syracuse. Was it a response to one of their big assistants being taken away and signed to another school? Maybe. Wally B's World of Sports kicks off the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also talk about should the NBA shorten their season after the latest trend of NBA players being sat down by their coaches. I think the product is being really affected by this right now. We'll also have a great interview. Golf Academy of America president coming in studio to give an interview. We'll talk about that. They have a open house coming up this Friday, so we'll discuss that. That's all coming up on today's show. Final word, what to watch, wraps up today's show. Going through the polls on Twitter for you. What is your good, your bad, your ugly from the weekend in sports? Which team is the biggest surprise to be in the Sweet 16? I think that's a great discussion we'll have a little bit later. I know the responses that we'll probably get aren't going to be exactly what Wally and I think, but I'm not surprised the Gamecocks are in the Sweet 16. That's the best team ever created. All right, sorry. End of
I rant. Was just rolling at all these social media stuff.
That's what
this
I was
morning.
Doing too. They played great basketball over the last 2 games.
Yeah.
But they're still surprised to get in the Sweet 16.
Back to life, back to reality.
We'll see. Should the NBA shorten the length of the season, yes or no, is the final poll for you on Twitter, at 1003team. I know what I just said is going to get some people riled up.
That's
so,
our job.
Hey, you want to get me riled up?
Call in.
843-652-3776. All the polls can be found on Twitter, at 1003team. When we come back, good, bad, and ugly on the drive.
It's been a long winter, but we can finally say hello to spring.
It's hard to believe it's only the first day of spring.
The first official day of spring.
We officially start spring.
The first sign of spring.
I love spring.
Hey, if you don't want to play, then we'll bring spring without you.
Every spring, the toilets explode.
Great radio show planned for you today.
Relaxing, laughing, talking. You talk to excess.
You think this is some kind of game?
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Coming to you from Merle's, South Carolina. It is Pat Payon and Wally B hanging out with you today, and let's get to it. It is Monday, our good, our bad, and our ugly.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend in sports.
Give us your good, your bad, your ugly from the weekend in sports. Go to Twitter at 100 through the team, or give us a phone call, 843-652-3776, if you want to give us your good, your bad, your ugly. Starting off with my good, you know, from the college basketball NCAA tournament, I think, you know, the Thursday-Friday was kind of weak, but the Saturday-Sunday was definitely good. And starting off, I got to say, the Wisconsin-Villanova game was amazing.
Yeah.
And one, there's two great things that can come from this that I think are good. First of all, Nigel Hayes with that great, you know, fake spin back and then drive to the hoop.
Yeah.
He credits trying to emulate Michael Jordan for that, and he actually said that right after the game. He said Michael Jordan was the inspiration for that move. He said he's practiced it, and he actually was able to do it in the game. So I thought that was pretty cool. Also, after the game, Wisconsin's Twitter trolls Villanova's Twitter, and they put up a GIF, which is a moving picture of a sad Villanova band member, which was from 2 years ago, crying while still playing her flute. And so he put that up there after, or Wisconsin put that up there after they defeated Villanova on the court. And so it's just hilarious. Maybe it's a little karma, though, that could hit Wisconsin if they keep doing, trolling some other teams with their Twitter. Also in NASCAR, Ryan Newman gambled and was the winner of the fourth Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race of the season after a late caution, and that gave the team the chance to break through since his first win since back in 2013. Let's hear it.
Newman is set sail, boys. I tell you, he's got a nice lead. They're not going to catch him.
Three wide, mid-pack, but out front, Ryan Newman, Kyle Larson.
What?
To be second again.
So close, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
Off turn four. Hello, Newman. Ryan Newman wins for Richard Childress Racing. Larson, Kyle Busch, a photo finish for Keselowski and Stenhouse. Give fourth to Stenhouse, fifth to Keselowski.
I lost count. That's how long it's been. Got to thank Granger and Caterpillar, Coca-Cola, Monster Energy for supporting our series, and Chevrolet, all the people, Kalahari that help us out, Aggressive Hydraulics. The list goes on and on. But, man, just gutsy call by Luke. I called for two tires, and he called for none. And I've won more races with no tires than I have with four. So just proud of these guys. We had a good car all day, kept it out of trouble, and collected in the end.
18th career victory for Ryan Newman, and yes, it has been a while. July 28, 2013 was the last time he won.
Wow.
So congratulations.
I can't believe the guy said, hello, Newman. Like,
yeah.
Oh, cheesy.
One last good for me. There, if you watched any of this World Baseball Classic, I haven't watched a single game. But, you know, keeping up with SportsCenter and reading sports
the
articles,
yeah.
There was an incredible home run rob job by Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles. He skied and robbed a home run. Now, the funny part about this is he robbed his own teammate of the Baltimore Orioles, Manny Machado, who's playing for the Dominican Republic. And so the USA ended up to winning the game 6-3. But this has already been made into a baseball card, and that's got to be the good thing, is that it really is one of the best catches I've seen in a long time. And it's definitely warranted being on a baseball card, so that's got to be good as well.
I have to say, go Puerto Rico!
Yeah, we'll see. Ezekiel Elliott being in trouble again. We know about, and we haven't really talked about, where he was at a St. Patrick's parade last week where he grabbed a woman's shirt and exposed her chest multiple times. Well, this past weekend he was on a yacht named No Rules 2, in which Coast Guard officials had to go ahead and board it and search it for about 20 minutes. They found nothing. But still, why do you put yourself in these situations? That's why it's a bad. Ezekiel Elliott, you have an entire career ahead of you.
Yeah.
You can stop trying to get yourself in trouble, because that's what I feel like it is.
I got more on that during my
Hollywood
Sports.
Perfect. Cannot wait to hear more about it. Another bad is the NCAA admitting that they blew the goaltending call between the Northwestern Gonzaga game. If you watched it, it was an egregious call. The guy for Gonzaga puts his hand up through the hoop, actually catches the net and blocks the ball. Nothing is called. Northwestern coach Chris Collins goes irate on the sideline. Ends up being assessed a technical foul. Gonzaga hit both free throws. And that was a four-point swing that really led to Gonzaga getting the six-point win over Northwestern, 79-73. So terrible, terrible call by the officials of that game. And the NCAA already came out and admitted that they blew that call. Ugly. Ben Roethlisberger cannot make up his mind. He cannot make up his mind. He still will not fully commit to playing this next season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is time to put up or shut up for Ben Roethlisberger because we have the NFL draft coming up in just a month.
Yeah.
Free agency is still going on where there's viable people that can go out there or viable quarterbacks that can go out and get. And so it's time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to go ahead and put a little bit of pressure on Ben Roethlisberger. But the fact that he still can't make up his mind right now, that's got to be an ugly. Not only for the organization, but for the other players on this roster who don't know who their quarterback is going to be next year.
I wonder if there's some undertow going on there in the organization that we don't know about.
He gets beat up every year.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he gets obliterated every year.
Yeah, he deserves it, though.
Wally, give me your good, your bad, your ugly.
My good is the Gamecocks upset last night against Duke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy for the Gamecock fans. They've needed something positive for so long, and it's good to see that they made it in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Will they make it to the Elite Eight?
Possibly.
You never know. They're hot, so I hope they can do it. It'd be nice to see it happen, and you know, so the good is that they're in the Sweet 16. So are the Lady Gamecocks in the Sweet 16?
If South Carolina shoots like they did in the first two games, especially in that second half against Duke, I don't think there's any team in the nation that can beat them.
And if they can,
they're playing the hottest basketball right now.
If they can back up that, you know, keep that defense going too, to back up that shooting, then
they're playing great defense and they're shooting the ball real well.
So I'm happy for the Gamecock Nation.
Right.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. My bad. The NBA and this whole resting players down the stretch.
It's unbelievable.
You know? Looking forward to watching the Cavaliers the other night, and I'm like, what? The big three aren't playing? Kevin Love's supposed to come back. He don't play. I'm like, come on, against the Clippers. I was looking for a good competitive game.
Yeah.
And then they sit, but they play last night against the Lakers, and they lose, and they win by only five. I'm like, come on. They should have played against the Clippers.
Yeah.
A good competitive game as a tune-up, and then coast against the Lakers.
You would think that would be the strategy, but no, it was the exact opposite.
We were talking before the show about this. The NBA needs to shorten the season or do something because these players are they're tired now, and they want to recharge before the playoffs happen. So
I mean, I don't blame the players or the coaches, and we'll have this discussion much later. I don't blame the players or the coaches. I blame the scheduling aspect of the NBA.
Yeah. Maybe they need to cut like 62 games or something.
Something.
Or down the home stretch, give, like you said off the air before we started, give longer breaks between games down the home stretch so they have more resting time.
Something's got to change.
Yeah, something's got to be good. The ugly, I was going to go with the Gonzaga goaltending.
It's not ridiculous, non-call. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely absurd.
The cute thing about that, do you see the young kid who's gone viral?
Yeah.
The crying Northwestern young man.
He
about
may take over about
10 years old.
Michael Jordan crying.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
If you want to see anything viral sports today, look up the Northwestern crying child.
Definitely.
And, you'll get a kick out of it. Poor guy.
Real emotional.
He's like, yeah. That was me when I was young.
Got a couple good, bad, and uglies on Twitter. Danny writes in, my good, the Tar Heels win. My bad, Duke loses. My ugly, Duke loses. That's a good one, Danny. Mr. Williams writes in, good, Gamecocks in the Sweet 16. Bad, Duke and Villanova. And ugly, NBA players resting on primetime game this past Saturday. Yes, Mr. Williams, and we will have that discussion a little bit later on the show. Keep going to Twitter at 100 through the team. Give us a phone call, 843-652-3776. Give us your good, your bad, your ugly. And when we come back, which teams are the biggest surprises that are in the Sweet 16? We'll have that discussion coming up on The Drive. Got to let you know, a presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user or custom lightning-fast downloads or someone who just needs to check your email, HTC High-Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. HTC High-Speed Internet has installation and 24/7 tech support, all for free with no hidden equipment fees. For more details, you can go and call HTC High-Speed Internet at 843-369-8982. Again, that phone number, 843-369-8982. HTC, this is life. Connect with it.
Today's show is brought to you by Spring, which begins today. Just in time, since you spent the weekend sleeping off St. Paddy's Day on Saturday and your busted bracket on Sunday.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
That Mayone and Wally B. are always wrong. So tell them about it. 843-652-3776. The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Sweet 16, and I'm sure your bracket is busted just like mine. Woo. I was updating my large bracket that's on the wall behind me. I have one region, the South, where I got every pick correct except for one, and that was I had Middle Tennessee State beating Butler. So if that would have happened, I'd have a completely perfect bracket. Now, that's in difference to the East, where I didn't get a single pick right in the Sweet 16, all four done. But let's have that discussion. Who are the biggest surprise teams into the Sweet 16? And I put down a couple of honorable mentions before I get to the top five. I think West Virginia is a pretty surprise team. Not the fact that they're in the Sweet 16, just how good they're playing on offense right now. We knew that they were a great defensive team that was able to put pressure on a lot of teams, but they're playing great offense as well. Same thing with Florida. Great defense, very surprising offense so far, and they shut down UVA to the tune of like 38 points UVA scored. Yeah. And that's an embarrassment. I also think Oregon is a big surprise, especially missing one of your best players who's injured before the tournament. How they're able to get wins over a good Iona team and then to knock off one of the darlings of the entire NCAA tournament, Rhode Island, which I really thought that Oregon was going to lose to Rhode Island, but Oregon surprised me. They are moving on as well. Last one is Baylor, because I don't trust Baylor at all, and the fact that they're in the Sweet 16 is very surprising to me. But they're not in the top five. Let's go through the top five. Number five, I have the 7-seeded Michigan Wolverines. In the first round, they beat Oklahoma State, the 10-seed, and then they just upset the number 2-seed Louisville in the second round yesterday. Now, you have to take the whole season to an account, and that's why this is a surprise. There were times when this team looked really, really bad, like they shouldn't even be in the NCAA tournament. And now it looks like they're one of the five best teams in the entire tournament. They're playing incredible basketball, shooting lights out from behind three. And this is a team that no one really wants to face right now. So, Oregon, the question to you is, are you ready to face the Wolverines? That's a question you'll have to answer coming up in a couple of days. But Michigan's got to be my number five biggest surprise team. Number four is Wisconsin. Now, we all know Wisconsin, the history of Wisconsin, and we know this roster of Wisconsin because they've been there before. But the fact that they went and you know, destroyed Virginia Tech, that was a surprise. I knew that they would beat Virginia Tech. It was a surprise how badly they beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
But to beat Villanova, the number one seed in their region and the overall number one seed in the entire tournament, was a huge surprise. They played... first of all, let's put it out there. Wisconsin was poorly seeded. They are not an 8 seed, and I think Villanova really got the raw end of this job as the number one overall seed, and you're playing an incredible 8 seed in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that this is still, you know, a team that you really have to be looking at to win the national title. It's impressive what they did against Villanova. Villanova had a really bad night. A really bad day.
Yeah.
It was also a very good matchup for Wisconsin, who has a lot of veteran presence on this roster. Matchups in the NCAA tournament mean everything, and Wisconsin had the matchup advantage. They have some great players as well. Bronson Koenig, Nigel Hayes. They've now made four consecutive Sweet 16s. That means something. The ability to get to the Sweet 16 is incredible, but the ability to do it four straight times by two different players is incredible. No team in college basketball has been to the second week in the past 4 years besides Wisconsin. We should have read a little bit more into that, but still, Wisconsin is a huge surprise to me, and it would not be surprising to me if they went ahead and beat Florida and made it to the Elite Eight. Now, if they're able to beat Baylor or South Carolina in the next round, that would be probably a bigger surprise for them to make it to the Final Four. But right now, they're the number four biggest surprise team. Number three is Purdue. And the reason I have Purdue, even though they're a four seed, is because, they beat Vermont, who is one of the hottest teams coming into the entire tournament, and they beat them pretty good. Now, yesterday's game against Iowa State, there was a couple times where Iowa State looked like they had the juice to come back, and Purdue at those times put the foot on the throat. And the biggest surprise is, and it really shouldn't be, but it is, Caleb Swanigan is one of the top five best players in this entire tournament, and he's surprising me. I knew he was a great player in the nation. Did not think he was going to be a top five player, a player that could really take Purdue on their back and possibly make a run at a national title. Now, they're going to have a tough matchup playing the number one seed in that bracket, Kansas. Yeah. But right now, I mean, the Big Ten is showing that they have some power in this tournament. And so Purdue's got to be another big surprise for me. They're number three. Yes, Gamecock fans, you are on this list. You are number two in my book, the seventh-seeded Gamecocks of South Carolina. They beat Marquette in the first round and then pulled that huge upset over Duke last night. Now, in the past 3 weeks before the tournament, there was times where USC, just like Michigan, didn't look like a tournament team. Then they go ahead and play their two best games of their season. I honestly believe this is the two best games they've played all season long. I mean, knocking off Duke, that is a huge surprise in one aspect. The other aspect, though, that is even a bigger surprise, is that you threw down 65 points in the second half. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's astonishing. Now, can this team beat Baylor? Yeah, I think they could. They have one of the best defenses still alive in the tournament, and if they continue to shoot and play offense like they have in the past two games, they could probably beat anybody in this tournament. And that's saying a lot, being a Clemson Tiger fan, that, you know, wanting South Carolina to lose just for that aspect. But this is the first time in program history that, A, the Gamecocks have won back-to-back tournament games, and, B, the first time they've ever made it to the Sweet 16. So this is a team of destiny right now.
Indeed.
We will see if this team continues to make their run. But number two in my book for the biggest surprises into the Sweet 16 is definitely South Carolina as a 7 seed.
I would love to see the Gamecocks go all the way. And take
it would
it
be
on.
Amazing.
And to see that way, you've got Clemson won it in football. You've got Gamecocks won it in basketball. It'd be incredible.
It would be a huge
Johnny
feat.
Clears in baseball. It's like, man, Carolina's rule.
It would be a huge feat for them to make it, even into the Elite Eight. If they win this game, that's a huge feat for them.
They beat the favorite. You beat the favorite, Duke, now. You're playing that kind of ball. There's no reason why you can't continue.
You're right. They broke my bracket. That was the one thing that, you know, Villanova, I had them in the Elite Eight, and that kind of hurt. That stung. But having Duke, who I had as the national champion, lose in even in the Sweet 16 is a killer to my bracket.
There are certain players wish they went pro now.
Oh, I guarantee it. Number one biggest surprise team has got to be Xavier, the 11 seed. They beat Michigan in the first round, or Michigan. They beat Maryland, sorry, in the first round, who was a 6 seed. Maryland looked absolutely terrible, and Xavier could not miss a shot. They then continued that trend against Florida State, the number 3 seed in the second round, where Florida State looked like a terrible team, and Xavier could not miss a shot. So Xavier's got to be a big surprise. I mean, they have the depth to really make some noise, especially with some top players that are just playing out of their mind right now. But it was a beatdown. That's the biggest surprise, is the beatdown that they put down on Florida State. This Florida State team is one of the more athletic, lankiest, and I thought really one of the fastest-paced teams in this entire college tournament. But they didn't have it. First of all, a team that cannot shoot threes, that shoots 22 three-point attempts in a game.
Yeah, it's not good.
They went 5 for 22, I believe. And I might be wrong on that stat line, but I'm not wrong by much. Because I know they were 4 for 20 at one point.
Yeah.
You're not going to win games.
Nope.
And it just didn't make sense to me. It was a lack of control by the Florida State players. They're just out of control, losing the ball, turnovers all the time. And Xavier could not miss a shot. They will have a tough opponent going up against Arizona in the Sweet 16. I expect that Xavier's run should come to a close as they meet the Wildcats of Arizona, the number 2 seed in their region. So recapping this one more time, the five biggest surprise teams in the Sweet 16. I have Michigan, the number 7 seed out of the Midwest, is my number 5 biggest surprise team. Number 4 is Wisconsin, the 8 seed out of the East bracket. Number 3 is the 4 seed Purdue out of the Midwest bracket. Number 2 is the South Carolina Gamecocks, the 7th seed out of the East bracket. And number 1 is the 11th seeded Xavier Musketeers out of the West bracket. Wally, do you have a biggest surprise team in the Sweet 16? Who's the biggest surprise to you?
I'd say the Gamecocks.
Really? You can make a case that that is the biggest surprise.
History had said that they wouldn't win their first game. Yep. They did that. Okay, they got the next one. And then, bam, now they're in the Sweet 16. Now they're in it. And they could win it if they keep playing like they are.
Not only, you can add on top of that we know how good of a defense this team is. They've been one of the best defenses all year long. I think going into the tournament, they were the third best defensive efficiency team in the entire field. but they're doing it offensively now. That's probably the biggest surprise to me.
Their confidence has got to be through the roof now. They know they have the defense. Now the offense is coming together at the right time. If they can keep the synergy going, man, there's no stopping them.
Now the biggest thing that might be against them is that their first two games were in Greenville, South Carolina, practically home games.
Yeah,
now they're going to New York City.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if that
continues.
Now the
big city, will they get the small town Carolina boys?
Maybe. Speaking of New York, a college program, Syracuse, extended their head coach. We'll have that discussion. Was it a response to one of their big assistant coaches, big named assistant coaches being taken away? We'll have that discussion coming up on The Drive.
It's been a long winter, but we can finally say hello to spring.
It's hard to believe it's only the first day of spring.
The first official day of spring.
We officially start spring.
The first sign of spring.
I love spring.
Hey, if you don't want to play, then we'll bring spring without you.
Every spring, the toilets explode.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. We've got about 2 minutes left in the first hour. Let's go to the phone lines real quick and get this in. Dennis, you got a good, bad, and ugly?
Oh, yeah. Of course, for me, good is that I'm still alive in my brackets and had South Carolina beating Duke.
Wow. Congratulations.
I still have UCLA and Gonzaga on a collision course in the final. But and the coverage is great. I mean, you know, years ago, God, you would miss the last couple of minutes, but the coverage is amazing on the four stations. It really is. The bad is, you know, we haven't had that last second shot yet.
Right.
You know, usually by now we have somebody hit a VCU type of shot at the buzzer, a banker, but we haven't had that yet. Maybe at the Garden this weekend with South Carolina.
Yeah, maybe.
And the ugly for me, as a Syracuse graduate and has some kids up there, losing to Ole Miss in the NIT and re-signing Jim Boeheim to another contract. My gosh, we were hoping so much to have coach assistant coach Hopkins take over, but we got Boeheim for a few more years, and that's kind of ugly for us Syracuse fans. What do you guys think?
Really appreciate the phone call, Dennis. Thanks for your good, bad, and ugly. And yeah, that's a great segue. I was just about to talk about this. I think it's a response to Mike Hopkins leaving to take the Washington job is the reason why they went ahead and extended Jim Boeheim. He's a great coach, but it may start and begin to the time where he needs to move on. But they were all, like Dennis said, they were hoping Hopkins would be the next head coach. That's not likely going to happen now, but Boeheim will be.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting. Sports Radio 100.3. The Team.
And just to piggyback off that, the reason I believe that this is a good hire, there's no other options. Boeheim has to stay there. He's a great recruiter, and he's had such a history there that you can't force him out. And Mike Hopkins really was the only option on that bench to replace him. He's no longer there. He's going to be the Washington Huskies head coach. But Hour 2 of The Drive is brought to you by Air Mechanical. Get a new high-efficient Amana system today. Air Mechanical, we're in your neighborhood.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. With your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome back for Hour 2 of The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Thank you for listening, and whether you're listening on the radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live through our website, teammyrtlebeach.com, or listening through the free app, the Sports Radio 100.3, The Team app, we welcome to today's show. This is Hour 2, and in Hour 2, we're going to talk about the NBA, you know, resting some stars and how that's affecting the product on the field or on the court. We'll also have in studio Gene Augustine, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Marines and current president of Golf Academy of America in Myrtle Beach. He'll be in here because the Golf Academy of America is having an open house this Friday. And so we'll talk to him about not only the Golf Academy, but what people can expect at the open house. And we'll also wrap up the show with final word on what to watch. But you know, just going back to Jim Boeheim, there really wasn't any other options for the Syracuse. They had to extend him because the entire the entire opinion of most people was that Mike Hopkins wasn't the heir apparent, and now he's going to be coaching the Washington Huskies. And so, really, where else we're going to go? Jim Boeheim is a great coach, and I believe he will get the Syracuse back into the tournament next season, as they were one of the teams right on the outside. But it is the first segment of the 8 o'clock hour, so you know what time that is.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
Yes, it is the first day of spring, so sing along.
Today, official beginning of spring.
I am in a fantastic mood today, and I don't know why.
I better call the doctor, because I've got spring fever.
That is great, and it makes you feel good.
Good morning, sunshine.
What kind of mood elevator are you on?
Good morning, sunshine.
They've been in remarkably good moods.
I bet you just fart, sunshine.
If he gets too much direct sunlight, he'll die.
No way.
Ah, yes, spring fever officially here, though.
So you're just a happy camper.
You'd be happy, happy.
Always happy. I had a severe case about 6 weeks ago when I realized we're not going to have a winter. And I got to say, the groundhog got it wrong.
Definitely.
Which goes to show that the Groundhog Day thing is just a whole thing to pack those hotel rooms in that small town of Pennsylvania and give people something to talk about. So, got to be happy. It's the first day of spring. Enjoy family and friends. Of course, we sprung ahead last week. Extra daylight now here with daylight savings time. You got to like it. That puts us 12 days away from April Fool's Day, 27 days away from Easter, 38 days until the NFL draft. When my Browns will blow their picks, the 1st and 12th, among others. 55 days away from having to buy your mother a gift for Mother's Day. 67 days away till the unofficial beginning of summer, Memorial Day weekend. And 90 days until Father's Day. Keep that in mind. That being said, back to sports. We told you about it last hour, but I'll recap it again. Ryan Newman won the Camping World 500 yesterday in Arizona for his first win in 127 races. That's right. 127 races. Even Ryan forgot how long it's been since he had won.
Newman has set sail, boys. I tell you, he's got a nice lead. They're not going to catch him.
Three wide, mid-pack, but out front, Ryan Newman, Kyle Larson to be second again.
So close, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
Off turn four. Hello, Newman. Ryan Newman wins for Richard Childress Racing. Larson, Kyle Busch, a photo finish for Keselowski. And Stenhouse give fourth to Stenhouse, fifth to Keselowski.
I lost count. That's how long it's been. Got to thank Granger and Caterpillar, Coca-Cola, Monster Energy for supporting our series, and Chevrolet, all the people, Kalahari that help us out, Aggressive Hydraulics. The list goes on and on. But, man, just gutsy call by Luke. I called for two tires, and he called for none. And I have won more races with no tires than I have before. So just proud of these guys. We had a good car all day, kept it out of trouble, and collected in the end.
So congrats to Ryan Newman. Newman pulls it off. First in 127 races. Going back to what you said, 2013?
Yeah, 2014, I believe. Wow. Yeah, absolutely incredible. And we will have President of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp, on the show on Wednesday. We'll talk about Ryan Newman and his career that he's had and whether we're seeing a resurgence back into NASCAR, because he's just a name we don't talk about anymore.
Yeah, Kerry's always a great interview. One of the things that do each week I look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
He's so insightful and gives us a good inside track, pun intended.
Boom.
Shaquille O'Neal is the latest NBA star to come out and try to claim that the earth is flat.
What is wrong with these guys?
He did it on his podcast the other day. Now, he sounds serious. A lot of people are trying to take it that way. But I think he was actually joking and just being Shaq and milking it. Because then at the very end, he says the earth is actually square.
What did you make of the Kyrie stuff?
I don't. It's true. The
what?
The earth is flat.
Shaq, what are you talking about?
The earth is flat.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. There's three ways to manipulate the mind. What you read, what you see, and what you hear.
Okay. Conspiracies.
In school, first thing they teach us is, oh, Columbus discovered America. But when he got there, it was some fair-skinned people with the long hair smoking out of peace pipes. So what does that tell you? Mm-hmm. Columbus didn't discover America.
He found where some other people already lived.
I drive from coast to coast, and the shit's flat to me. I'm just saying. So I do not go up and down in a 360-degree angle and all
me?
That stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside of Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? So you mean to tell me that China is under us? China's yes. under us.
If you keep
they
saying?
Are under us.
Is that what they tell you when you're a kid?
The world is flat.
If you dug straight through your backyard, you could get to China.
No, you can't.
The world is not flat.
Yes, it is.
No, we've seen the Earth.
No, we haven't seen anything.
Yes, you have. You've seen it from satellite imagery.
Oh, satellite imagery that could be drawn and made up. I'm just saying, when I drive from Florida to New York, flat.
Right.
New York to Seattle.
It's
flat.
Not flat.
Seattle down to L.A. Flat. L.A. back to Florida. Flat. It's a square.
Absurd.
That's called grasping for material on a ship.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's absurd.
We all know that the Earth is perpendicular.
It is a cone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be, okay? As long as it's a peaceful place.
It's heart-shaped.
Yeah. Wally World is flat. No, just kidding. And you know who is flat, whose play has been flat, is Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And as Spike Lee is now saying, he's being blackballed.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, is he though? Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
But
if his play was as good as it was those 2 years, his two best years, then people would say, you know what, what he can bring to the field is worth what he's done to distract on the field and off the field.
Right.
But now he's not going to play again.
He's not a great quarterback by any means, but can he come in there and produce for your team as maybe a backup or maybe some of these teams that don't even have a quarterback? Yeah, he's better than some of the things you're looking at right now. And so, yeah, I agree that I wouldn't say blackball. That is such a strong term to give for Colin Kaepernick. But teams are definitely taking into consideration the mess that is around him.
Yeah.
And that I think that's taken a stronger they're taking that into more consideration than what he can actually do on the field, and that's wrong.
Wrong. If he's not going to get another shot in the NFL, then fine. Then he needs to do what he has teamed up with Ben Stiller to be doing. Him and Ben Stiller are helping to raise money for famine victims in Somalia. And here's Colin talking about how Turkish Airlines donated a plane to fly food to Somalia, and some other organizations are doing what they can to get that plane filled with like 6 tons of food. So good for Colin.
Amazing news. Turkish Airlines granted us an airplane to fly to Somalia, a 60-ton cargo plane, so we can fly there with food, with water for these people. Now we've started a GoFundMe page to allow anyone to help us donate food, donate water. We'll make sure every cent goes to helping these people. This is a victory for the people. This is a victory for the people of Somalia. It was done out of love, out of respect for these people. We wanted to bring structure to this, so now we're going to use the name Love Army for Somalia. So use the hashtag Love Army for Somalia, and this is amazing. Let's keep building. Let's keep going.
Good for Colin.
Well, no, that's great. The only question I have is, does he not know about Somali pirates?
Well, they are going to fly, so there are no pirates in the air.
I don't care. There's still pirates on the ground.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like going off on like a different tangent, like... You have to worry about, do these actual supplies get to the people that you're trying to get them to? That's the only thing you have to worry about.
Thank God it's an airline, not a cruise line, because if it was a cruise line, that's definitely something to have to worry about.
Did you ever see Captain Phillips?
But I wouldn't mess with Turkey. Turkey gets some crazy people.
No
I wouldn't mess with Turkey.
Did you ever see that movie, Captain Phillips?
Yes, great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie. It's something, I wasn't even aware. I knew that there were Somali pirates. Wasn't even aware to what degree. And yeah, it's crazy.
They
have great perspective.
They have pirated millions upon millions of stuff over the years.
They're just hurting their own people, though. Don't they understand that?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's not like they're like Robin Hoods, where they're robbing these ships and giving it to the poor people. They're just keeping it for themselves.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, on to Ezekiel Elliott. He had his good time temporarily ruined again this week, only now it was the U.S. Coast Guard during a Rager yacht party in Miami. So Ezekiel was partying with friends and a gaggle of chicks on Saturday on a yacht called, as you said earlier, No Rules Tool, when a Coast Guard cruiser pulled up and we were told the yacht had docked minutes before. Now, eyewitnesses tell us that two guards got on the yacht and conducted a 20-minute search on board. We're told once the search was complete, the guards went back to their vessel and took off. Unclear what they were looking for or why they approached Ezekiel and company, a rep for the Coast Guard said that they were checking. It was a standard checkup. They believed it was probably a safety check to make sure if the boat and the guests were in compliance with maritime safety protocol. That's the cover. You know they were thinking, NFL player, off-season, he's probably got some weed on the boat.
Yeah, there's some type of drugs or some type of illegal activity.
And luckily for Ezekiel, he's smart, and he left his weed at the weed store. He checked it 2 before the season started.
Is he smart, though? Because this is now, in 2 weeks, two different situations that he should not be putting himself into.
You know, but, I mean, having boated for many years with friends who have boats, it's been a while. Friends call me when I go on your boat. along the intercoastal waterway, I have been on a boat when the Coast Guard has stopped and just done that. Made sure made sure there was a life jacket per person.
Right.
And make sure that whoever was drinking was not driving the boat.
Right. That's understandable.
That sort of thing. So that's, you know, I believe it was a safety check.
This boat was docked.
But. It was they still check. They still check. Yeah. You come in, they still check.
Right.
They still check you. But I believe they definitely thought we're likely to find more than, you know, and they didn't. So good for Ezekiel. He was he was towing the line, pun intended, on the boat. So good for him.
The thing is while, you know, I don't disagree that the U.S. Coast Guard has the right to do that, and, you know, I'm glad for Ezekiel Elliott that nothing was found. It's the fact that he's now putting himself in these situations to get in trouble. Whether, I mean,
well,
somebody else.
The woman thing at the parade, that was putting himself in a situation. This was just boating.
But what I'm saying is, what if somebody, not Ezekiel Elliott, but what if somebody, maybe someone he didn't even know on this boat, had marijuana or another substance on this?
Yeah.
Now we're linking that to Ezekiel Elliott being on this boat.
True.
And so you're putting yourself in situations to get in trouble. Now, do you not live your life to the fullest and, you know, take every opportunity to have fun when you're a professional and you're making, you know, millions of dollars, whether it's through the NFL or sponsorships? I'm not saying you, like, you know, barricade yourself in your house.
Right.
But you gotta be aware of the situations you're putting yourself into.
I'm hoping he was smart to say, hey, guys, we're going to the boat. No weed, no drugs, no guns. Keep it off the boat. And that's why they checked out okay.
Right.
Either that or they found something and he greased someone's palm before they left.
It could be it as well.
You know, but, you know, and the important thing is that nothing was found on anybody, so nobody had to take the rap for him. His crazy friend who brought the gun to the nightclub weeks back wasn't there. Thank goodness for that. The boat did not belong to Ezekiel. He was just renting them as they do. This, you know, there's a business, of course, we know here, we have a boat club here that does that as well.
Yep.
That rents the boats to celebs and other rich folks. So Ezekiel was just there for the ride. And like a smart professional athlete, if he did have any contraband, he was smart enough to leave it at home or not in the boat. You know, a lot of these dumb
in the
NFL
car,
players,
in
yeah,
the
they,
parking
you know,
lot.
Yeah, you're in the NFL, you're high profile, and you're going to bring your drugs in your car and drive around. You're begging to be busted, and you deserve to be busted. So,
but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, why put yourself in any type of precarious situation where something could go wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
As a guy who is now going into his second year in the NFL, who has already been surrounded by a couple different controversies, I would think that you were going to use this offseason to go ahead and just stay out of the limelight.
I think this hopefully is a testament to that fact that he's saying, okay, when I'm out and about, everything's going to be kept clean and above board
and
beyond reproach. So hopefully
he's too good of a player to get in trouble.
Hopefully they'll check out him a couple more times and they'll give up, go, okay, he's got it, he's going to be smart, he's going to stay clean, and we can't bust him, so we'll just quit trying.
Right.
Khloe Kardashian was the Cavaliers game against the Clippers on Saturday night to watch her BF, Tristan Thompson, as they tried to in vain beat the LA Clippers without, of course, the big three playing. Tristan Thompson, I need to see some stats on this season. Is he having a down season?
He's not doing exactly what he's done in the playoffs.
And we know why.
In the regular season, he really doesn't do that well. It's when he gets to the playoffs, he steps up his game.
Well, I'm going to predict when they get to the playoffs, he's going to have his worst playoff series ever.
Yeah?
Because of the Kardashian factor. You can mark my words. Gonna be like, what's wrong with Tristan? Oh, well, you know, Khloe. What's wrong with him? Kardashian? He's got Kardashian disease. That's what's wrong with Tristan
Something
Thompson.
Like that, yeah.
I mean, and she was wearing this huge, humongous, ginormous rock on her engagement finger.
No.
So now people are speculating: are they engaged? And it's not being made official. As she sat next to her pal Malika Hack, she wore the ring and was having no problem flashing it around. So you got to wonder: are they officially engaged? Because she was officially divorced from Lamar back in December, became official. So,
speaking of Lamar, he actually made an appearance on TV this past weekend. He was at the Rhode Island game because that's where he went to school as well.
Okay.
So we got to see him. He looked like trash.
Did he really?
He just looked like he's...
he looked good.
Nope, just doesn't look like the normal Lamar Odom we've seen.
Oh, no. Lamar, bro, chill out. Leave the chemicals alone, buddy. You can maybe be a coach in that league or maybe come back and help...
do something.
Help what's-his-face coach the Lakers.
Luke Walton, yeah.
Yeah, Luke Walton.
He just needs someone to help him out. And I'm not saying he looked like he's still on drugs because he didn't look that. He just looks like he's been on drugs in the past and just doesn't look like the normal Lamar Odom we've seen.
Well, over the weekend, we lost an icon, rock and roll legend Chuck Berry.
So
passed away Saturday at his home in Missouri. He was 90. He'd been found unresponsive, and when the EMTs arrived, they were unable to revive him. And according to Chuck's family, his health had deteriorated recently, but he spent his last days at home surrounded by his family and friends. And Chuck Berry, man, was one of the pioneers, true pioneers of rock music, and is best known for songs like Maybelline, We're Over Beethoven, Rock and Roll Music, Sweet Little 16, Johnny B. Good, My Ding-a-ling, and a bunch of them. Here's a little montage of his stuff. And his duck walk. Nobody could do the duck walk while playing the guitar like the great and now late Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry! I'm going to miss you, bro. Take it away, Chucky, as you head to that big stage in the sky. But Chuck was among the first musicians to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when it opened in 1986. Rolling Stone ranked Chuck Berry fifth on the list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. And they also ranked him seventh on the list of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Writer Chuck Klosterman has said that in 300 years, Chuck will be remembered as the rock musician who most closely captured the essence of rock and roll. You're lucky if you can find a seat. The Beatles say that he was one of their biggest influences. The Rolling Stones say he's one of the biggest influences. So a true icon, and we don't have many of these left. They are slowly
they are
dying off, man. And we know the state of music today, it ain't gonna be like it ever was back in the day.
That's crap.
So we send our thoughts, prayers, and wishes to Chuck Berry's family,
yeah,
his friends, and all of his fans. We're gonna miss the great Chuck Berry. She called me right back and made me do it again. Oh, Chuck Berry, R.I.P. We're going to miss you, bro.
I took a history of music class in college, and to really, I mean, this doesn't really explain how big of an impact he had on music, but it did to me at the time. You know, every class we usually talked about probably two or three different artists that transcended the musical world and really created, a different niche or genre in music.
Right.
And we had two full classes on Chuck Berry. I mean, awesome. when every other class was maybe like two or three artists,
he had
two classes by himself.
There you go.
And really, it was amazing. An amazing artist, a guitarist, and just, lyricist as well.
Whoever put that curriculum together at your school was a genius.
Oh, yeah.
It's good that the younger generation would know about Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah.
Wrapping up with some pop culture news. They announced it. Monopoly is now getting rid of some of their... whatever game pieces.
Iconic game pieces, yeah.
What's out? The thimble's out, the wheelbarrow's out, and the boot is out.
Good, those are the three worst.
The ones nobody wanted to pick. The three new ones are a T-Rex, a rubber duck, and a penguin.
I like the rubber duck and penguin. The T-Rex is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I understand the duck and the penguin, but why the Bernie Sanders? I don't get that. So Hasbro is hoping that the new pieces will entice people to buy the game, play it once, and then leave it on the shelf for the next 50 years.
Or break the board out of frustration.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just take so long to play Monopoly. Well, over the weekend, Beauty and the Beast made $170 million over the weekend, making it one of the biggest PG and G-rated movies to come out. It topped Finding Dory that did $130 million last year, which I don't get because that movie was horrible.
No, I haven't watched it.
But warning, now that Beauty and the Beast has made $170 million, Disney's likely to make even more movies about princesses.
Yeah, just live-action princesses, that.
Did you hear about Eddie Murphy?
No.
He's announced he is writing a sequel to Coming to America.
I did read that.
Now, I can see it now. In this one, he returns to Zamunda, Africa, then can't get back into the U.S., and President Trump plays a cameo appearance, and we'll know why, because he can't get back in. Crazy. Well, back to the Kardashians. Apparently, Kim is about to have a nervous breakdown, according to people close to her. The source of her angst? That one time she had to go nearly 15 whole minutes without someone taking a picture of her. It drove her nuts. And a rep for Kim denies the rumor, as do all three voices in Kanye West's head. She's going to be all right. I got this. She's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And that, family and friends, is this edition of Wally B's World of Sports. Remember, life is a sport. It's a game. Play it like a winner. Appreciate every moment of every day, because now is always a gift. It's called the present. And leave your loved ones with loving words, because you never know when... you'll leave them with words the last time. Keep that in mind. And that's it.
great edition
first
of
day Wally. Spring.
Oh yeah, great edition of Wally B's World of Sports. And I want to let you know, we at Cumulus Media have another sweet deal for you. It's half off a $60 gift certificate to Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery.
Yeah.
So for $30, you can get a $60 certificate for great food, great drinks, and great fun. It's $30 for $60 certificate to Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery. You can go to our website, TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on the sweet deals picture, and get your $60 certificate for $30 today to Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery. There is a limited number left, and so go to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on that sweet deals picture, and get your $60 certificate to Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery today for half off. When we come back, does the NBA need to change their length of the season or just scheduling in general? We'll have that discussion coming up on The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
It's been a long winter, but we can finally say hello to spring.
It's hard to believe it's only the first day of spring.
It's the first official day of spring.
We officially start spring.
The first sign of spring.
I love spring.
Hey, if you don't want to play, then we'll bring spring without you.
Every spring, the toilets explode.
Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Pat Payon and Wally B hanging out with you. And there's just something's got to change about the NBA. Am I right, Wally? Something's got to change.
Oh, yes. Especially this postseason stretch stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous resting these players. If I'm a fan and I'm paying to come to the game, I expect to get the full product, not be shortened by the,
you're right,
the three of the best players are not playing. I want a refund.
This is now like two weekends out of the last three that we've had stars for a major team on a major television broadcast, the showcase game of the weekend, be sat by their organizations. It was a couple weeks ago when we had the Warriors and the Spurs and pretty much every all-star on those rosters sat.
Yeah.
And now this past weekend in the nationally televised matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the LA Clippers, the Cavaliers rest LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love, that's understandable. You know, coming back from an injury, you want to make sure he is fully ready to come back. But This is a joke. It is really becoming a joke. I mean, fans should be mad. Broadcasters should be mad. The players themselves should be mad. Yeah. Social media is blowing up about this. They're just torching the NBA right now. And, you know, Cavs general manager David Griffin, he defended the decision to ESPN and also said that the league office has contacted him, so we may see some fines come down the line. But, you know, he's saying his main point is that you're paying me to win a championship. You're not paying me to win games. You're paying me to win a championship. And so everyone is overly concerned about the perception of not playing in these nationally televised games and being able to rest these players. And he makes a valid point. But who is really the ones that are benefiting from the NBA? That is the fans. They're That's wanting right. to see the best product on the court. They're paying their money. They're not only that, they're paying their time and attention to this, where they could be watching something completely different. And That's I right. believe fans are starting to move that way. But I think there's a couple different approaches to this. Doc Rivers, the coach of the Clippers, suggested that the league needs to take action to prevent these situations by making sure that nationally televised games don't feature teams that are involved in back-to-back games, which is a good point.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a nationally televised game, make sure that the teams that are playing in this game are not playing the night before. And that's a great point, because not only that, they're also having to travel from a different city to play in these other cities. And so you have to take that into consideration. It's just ridiculous. Now, the NBA is also, you know, taking a couple steps in towards improving this. They're actually going to cut down the preseason next year, which will reduce back-to-backs even further. But even going back to 2016, this has been a discussion now for years.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe Bryant said that they should shorten the season not only to benefit the players with rest and keeping major injuries from happening, but it's going to benefit the fans. Like you said, Wally, the biggest concern for me is that fans are now starting to think, am I going to see the best players when I buy these tickets? And for them to even start considering that is a major problem for the NBA,
exactly.
And it's a major problem for the image of the NBA.
That's right.
I think you have to shorten the season. 82 games is too long, and whether you want to maybe shorten the season, the length of the season, by starting it earlier or taking away a couple of the games, I think it has to happen, because not only are you helping the players by lessening the risk of injury, but it helps the product on the court.
Yeah.
Who wants to see these guys that we don't even know their names get out in the court and try and take on a team like the LA Clippers, who had all of their best players playing.
Exactly.
I mean, the mileage that you can say that these players are having on their body throughout the season, that's one thing. But now we have to start considering that these players are coming from high school, playing the AAU. They're playing across the nation year-long. They then go to college basketball and play a grueling schedule there. And now you're asking them to play even more games in the NBA when their bodies aren't used to that yet. It's affecting a lot of people. Think about Joel Embiid. He's had some serious injuries. Whether you want to equate that to how frail his body is, whether he didn't drink enough milk growing up, I don't know. That could be it. But it also could be the fact that you're playing 3 to 4 games a week, and it's over a long period of, or a shorter period of time. I think it needs to be shortened. This is affecting the product on the court. And going to the poll on Twitter, should the NBA shorten the length of the season? 59% say yes, and Wally and I both agree it's got to be a yes. We got a phone call right now, James. James, what's going on, my man?
How y'all doing this morning?
James, I don't want to hear from you. You beat the brakes off of us in the pick 'em contest. I don't want to hear from you.
Way to go, 71, buddy.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of these NBA teams sitting these players, and there's no reason for it. I mean, baseball players, they play 162 games in like 185 days.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just ridiculous. And I mean, you don't see them sitting out just because they need some rest.
Well, they do, but in that aspect, there's multiple players on the field that you still have the ability to see all-stars, where it's only 5 players in the court for the NBA. There's a less of a reason or a more of a reason to see all-stars if there's only 5 players on the court instead of, you know, the normal 11 on the baseball diamond.
And I just don't see what teams are accomplishing, really, by sitting these guys. I mean, it's really not saving your body that
no,
much.
No, it's not.
It's really not. And I don't know. I'm glad the Wizards, they're against it. Like John Wall and Brad Beal, they say that the players owe it to the fans.
I completely agree.
I agree with it. I mean, if I'm going to sit there and go out and take my family, spend $500-$600 on the tickets and food, and you don't want to go watch, especially that Cleveland roster. You take away the big three, you don't want to go see
that. Tristan Thompson's your best player on the court at that moment. Yeah, that's not any product I want to see.
Cavs still got one of the best benches in the NBA.
Get out of here. I really appreciate the call, James. And like I said, I'll be giving you a call after today's show to let you know what you can pick up from our station, because you did beat the brakes off of Wally B and I.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Congratulations again. You know, also, we can go back to the Rio Olympics and study that aspect, because a lot of the players said that they weren't going to play in Rio, well, for one reason, because of the Zika virus, but the second reason is because they didn't want to get injured during a time period when they're supposed to be resting their bodies.
Exactly.
And so now that's affecting Olympic games. And you know, that's not probably the main focus of these NBA players. Winning an NBA championship is probably a bigger focus, unless you're Carmelo Anthony, who wants to win gold medals instead of NBA titles. But 82 games is just whether you think it's too long in that aspect, or whether you think the season in terms of the length of months is too short for 82 games, something, one of those two things has to change.
I say shorten the season and then lengthen the time between games down the home stretch of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. They also did something back in 2014, which I thought was pretty interesting, that may be coming back into an idea for the NBA, and that was actually shortening the length of the game. Normally 48-minute games. Instead, they did an experiment during the preseason where they had 44-minute games. Now, will that make a big difference? No. Taking away 4 minutes of every game is not going to make a big difference, in my opinion.
No.
It's not the minutes. It's the number of games. You could play 50-minute games if you have to, but it's the actual number of games and how many games they are playing in a span of a couple nights, when especially they're having to fly overnight. I really think that's the biggest issue plaguing the NBA right now. So in my opinion, whether you go ahead and shorten the number of games from 82 down to another number that you can think of, or whether you lengthen the actual season, the number of months that the season is played over, something that has to happen, because no one wants to see the product of the Cleveland Cavaliers putting their best player Tristan Thompson out on the court because they're having to sit LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love.
Yeah.
No one wants to see that. All right, got to let you know, you can go right now to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on our Million Dollar Madness bracket, and check the updated standings. As I mentioned, we have a five-way tie right now. I am nowhere close to sniffing the lead. I am so far off, it's not even funny. I think I'm like in 78th place out of 124, which is great to be a sports talk show host and have no credibility on the airwaves. But you can go right now, TeamMyrtleBeach.com, check out your picks, continue to look at other people's picks as well, continue to check out the standings, and don't forget, we don't have any perfect brackets any longer, so no more million-dollar bracket. But the top five get great gifts courtesy of Budweiser through Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. And also, Backyard Sports Bar and Grill put up a 50-inch flat-screen TV to the overall winner of our contest. So keep going to TeamMyrtleBeach.com. Click on the Million Dollar Madness Bracket Challenge picture. You can check the standings, see how close you are to finishing in the top five or finishing in that number one spot. When we come back, a great interview with Gene Augustine, a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Marines and the current president of Golf Academy of America in Myrtle Beach. He's actually sitting right next to me. Can't wait for this interview. It's coming up on The Drive.
Thanks for listening to today's show. Hope you had a great St. Patrick's Day. And just a heads up, that wasn't a leprechaun you partied with behind that dumpster. Just a really short homeless dude.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
40 and a half minutes past the hour. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you from our Merle's Inlet studio. And joining us now in the studio, Gene Augustine, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Marines and current president of Golf Academy of America in Myrtle Beach. Gene, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Good to hear. Well, first, tell me and tell the folks listening out there, what is the main goal, especially people who haven't even heard of the Golf Academy of America, what is the main goal of the Golf Academy of America?
Basically, the main goal is to provide an avenue or a path to get into the golf industry. Mm-hmm. The golf industry is a tough industry to crack.
Oh, yeah.
We've discovered there's basically five ways to get into the golf industry. One, you're born into it, such as Davis Love or the Harmons of the famous Harmon family. The second way is to be really, really smart and have an MBA in business from Harvard or Duke and be able to crack into the industry that way. The third way is to go through and do a PGM program such as they have at Coastal Carolina University here. That's a great way if you're 18, you know you want to be in the golf industry, a fantastic way of doing it. The other way is to do it, as many have in the past years, is to be an apprentice and go to a PGA pro and say, hey, I want to be a PGA pro as well and start out as an apprentice. The problem with that nowadays is PGA pros don't typically have enough time to teach an apprentice, all the things that you need to know. And then the fifth way is really Golf Academy of America, a professional career college that, provides that path to get into the golf industry.
And Gene, what kind of golfer is this for? I mean, to explain my golf game, I'm kind of a hacker. I used to be good, went to college, didn't really play very much, and now I'm playing as much as I can, and my game just hasn't come back around. Is this a type of academy for the top echelon golfers who are trying to have a career out of this, or is it really for anybody who just has a love for the game of golf?
I would say the latter. Definitely anybody who has a love for the game of golf. We do have top echelon players at the school, those with the plus handicap, but we also have up to the 30 handicapper who just wants to be in the golf industry. They love the game. They want to be in the golf industry. And the golf industry is a $76 billion industry. It's a wide, huge industry. So it's not just, hey, I want to be a PGA teaching pro. It can be, hey, I want to be a sales rep for Callaway. I want to work outside services at a great club. We got a student right now who's interviewing to be a caddy master out at Pebble Beach.
Wow. Pretty awesome.
Could you imagine that?
That'd be so awesome.
And he's going to get the job. We've got a great association with Caddy Master, that corporation, and it looks really strong. He's going to get that job.
Very cool. And you spoke about the industry of golf in general. So there's multiple ways to go about it. You don't just have to be a teaching pro. Like you said, you can do inside sales or corporate sales. You can do a lot of different things with the actual management of golf courses as well. So with the changing of the industry, how have has the Golf Academy of America had to change along with the golf industry?
That's a great point there, because the golf industry is certainly changing. Over the last 10 years, the golf industry has changed completely. I could think of five areas in which technology has impacted the game of golf.
Yeah.
From tee time management, you know, a lot of us have a Golf Now app on our phone, and we don't have to call up to every pro shop and try to get a tee time. We just do that via Golf Now, or, you know, PGA's got a version of that as well. At the course, you know, inventory control using point of sale systems, the Jonas system, whatever a course uses, all technology based now. We teach that at the school. Methods of golf instruction, now using TrackMan, V1 systems, Sam PuttLab, whatever it might be, that's a key component of the instruction in the game of golf. We have all those systems, by the way, at the school. We have a huge technology center there where we have, you know, about golf simulators as they use on the golf channel. We have, you know, we have TrackMan using Doppler radar technology to be precise about what's going on with the golf swing. We have Sam PuttLab. We have the V1 systems.
Yeah.
We have K-Vest, BodyTrack, all those systems. And not only for you to learn as a golfer trying to improve and get better, but for you as a teacher to teach students and understand how that technology can help.
Yeah.
Other ways that, industry or technology is affecting the golf industry is social media for sure, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And then the other way is tournament and handicap management systems. All that is done is computer-based applications, not stubby pencil writing on paper trying to plug in tee times.
Joined by Gene Augustine on the drive, the current president of Golf Academy of America in Myrtle Beach. For someone who's wondering about enrolling, what does the curriculum of the Golf Academy of America look like?
Well, like I said, Pat, you know, we focus on three areas. We focus on the game of golf, we focus on the business of golf, and then the technology of golf. So our curriculum is an associate's degree producing curriculum, and as such, it's pretty academically rigorous. I mean, I went through the program myself down at the Orlando campus, and I got to tell you, I was surprised at how rigorous the academics are. Not overtaxing or overbearing, but, you know, you've got to put in a lot of work and effort because, you know, we pride ourselves on placing people in the golf industry.
Right.
And the people that we produce from the Golf Academy of America are highly skilled, highly trained, and they're very much sought after because, you know, we hold their feet to the fire when they're in class.
Yeah.
I mean, on the business side of golf, I mean, they're going to take classes in accounting, marketing, business management, business law, club fitting and repair. You know, on the game of golf side, you know, they're going to take golf, you know, classes in golf fundamentals, mechanics of the short game, advanced short game, rules of golf, levels 1, 2, and 3, methods of teaching, the mental approach to golf, you know, taking sports psychology type classes, facility management, how to actually manage a tee sheet, how to manage a golf facility, understanding the principles of golf course maintenance. And then on the technology of golf side, you know, that underlies all those other aspects. But, you know, additionally, they're going to take classes dedicated specifically just to technology.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, computer classes or, you know, just, you know, working with the technology we have in our tech center.
And this week, you do have an open house. It is Friday, March 24th. You know, what can people experience at this open house that they would kind of, it would point them into joining the Golf Academy of America?
Yeah, so the open house is really a great opportunity to dip your toe in the water. Come to our campus on 10th Avenue, Mr. Joe White Avenue there in Myrtle Beach. You know, sign up in advance by calling us up, letting us know you're going to come. And then we'll take you through. We'll show you the facilities we have, you know, explain in detail the curriculum that we have, take you into our club fitting, club repair lab, go into our technology center. You know, we'll have a pitching and chipping contest. We have a big putting green in there, chipping areas. And then we'll get you out and we'll play golf, either play with myself or one of my PGA pros that are on staff.
Very cool. And how can somebody seeking more information about the Golf Academy of America do so? You have a website, phone number, and you said it's on Mr. Joe White Avenue?
It is.
Okay.
It is. 1900 Mr. Joe White Avenue. Right across from Simply Southern Barbecue. Phone number is 843 445 5000. That's 843-445-5000. We have a great website, golfacademy.edu. So I would visit that website as well, golfacademy.edu, and find out more. You could even look at what the application process is and everything else.
Again, this is Friday, March 24th. What are the hours on Friday?
We're going to start at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we'll have lunch there at the school, and then we'll be on the golf course by 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Very cool. Very cool. Gene, you know, I got you in the studio. We're only 3 weeks away from Augusta. I'm so pumped. You know, the Masters is one of the great events on the PGA Tour. So if I were to ask you if you had maybe a favorite or two to win this year's Masters, who do you like?
I think a golf industry favorite would be Tiger Woods.
Not going to happen.
I hope so. Probably not going to happen, but
I'm a huge Tiger fan. Everyone listens, they know I'm a huge Tiger fan. I'm a realist too. Just not the same Tiger.
Yeah, but you know he's Tiger, so we come to expect the most amazing things from him. So hopefully he'll be back. But I think Rory. I think Rory has been in every tournament. He's striking the ball well. He's managing his game really, really well. He's got that maturity level. You know, he's shown he could play really well there. The course suits his game. Yeah. So I look at him.
Gene Augustine, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Marines and current President of the Golf Academy of America in Myrtle Beach. Again, for more information, you can go to www.golfacademy.edu or you can call them 843-445-5000. Again, they have a Friday open house. This is this Friday. He's playing some golf sounds in the background. There we go, a little golf clap. Gene, really appreciate the time, and good luck with the upcoming golf curriculum and season, and good luck with the open house on Friday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Appreciate it. When we come back on The Drive, we'll give our final word and what to watch on tonight's sports television broadcast. We'll be back on The Drive.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your workday. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive. 56 minutes past the hour, so we got about 4 minutes to get in the final word and what to watch. And final word is Coastal Carolina. They look to extend their season tonight when they host Loyola Maryland University. That is a 7 p.m. tip-off tonight. You can hear it on our airwaves. Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock first tip. Both teams are coming off first-round wins in the CBI as the Chanticleers took care of Hampton and Loyola pulled off the tournament upset, beating George Mason on the road. But if the Chanticleers play like they did last round, where they had all five of their starters reaching double-digit scoring, then they're going to win this game. I mean, that's a rarity because that's only happened one time, and that was the last game. But junior Jalen Shaw has been great. He scored 22 points in that last game. Elijah Wilson's getting back to his form, had 11 points in that win. And DeMario Beck had one of his top games, scoring 21 points and having a lot of rebounds as well. But Loyola, they have three players you got to really worry about. Andre Walker is the team's leading scorer with 15 points. He's also the team's assist leader with 128, and he's a leader in steals at 48. So maybe he's one of the guys you need to key in on tonight if you're going out to watch that game. But Jared Jones is the only other Greyhound from Loyola to average in double figures with 14.9 points. He's also the team leader in block shots. And so those are the two guys really you need to be really worried about if you're a Chanticleer fan. But if the Chanticleers come out and they rebound well, if they shoot free throws well, if they do anything like they did in that first round matchup in the Sun Belt tournament where they just were lights out from three-point land, they're going to win this game. That's just a big if. Coastal is definitely capable of doing it. They just need to all do it together in one strong effort tonight. And again, Coastal Carolina taking on Loyola Maryland. That is tonight, 7 p.m., 6:45 pregame, 7 p.m., first tip. I almost said first pitch, but it is the tip-off on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. That is at the HTC Center, so you can go ahead and contact Coastal Carolina to get tickets as well. What to watch tonight? The NIT basketball tournament continues. It is the second round game between Central Florida and Illinois State, 7 p.m. ESPN. You also have the Warriors at the Thunder. Mm-hmm. That should be a good game without Kevin Durant, though. That's a little bit of the zest away from it.
But I gotta wonder, are the Stars gonna play?
We'll see. We'll see. 8 p.m. TNT. You should watch that game to see if the Stars do play. Also, a great NIT matchup in the second round. Akron at Texas Arlington. The Sun Belt regular season champion, Texas Arlington. They are still alive in the NIT. They host Akron tonight, 8 p.m. ESPNU. You also have an NIT Boise State at Illinois, 9 p.m. ESPN, and the tip-off, late tip-off for the NBA is the New York Knicks at the L.A. Clippers, 10:30 p.m. TNT. If I'm watching a game, I don't care if Kevin Durant's not playing that. If the Warriors are playing Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, that's going to be the best game of the night. Outside of that, I may watch that Akron-Texas Arlington game because Texas Arlington is a special team. And, you know, there were some prognosticators that said that they could have gotten to the tournament if they had gotten to their final and lost. They were one of those teams that was possibly on the bubble, but the Sun Belt was a one bid league this year, and so they did not get in. Troy got in, and they put up a valiant effort against Duke. But it's been a great show. Again, thank you to Gene, the president of the Golf Academy of America, for coming in. Thanks for all the tweets and the phone calls. Really appreciate it. For Wally Beyond Pat Payone, this is The Drive.
Your sports leader from Little River to Loras, Conway to Carolina Forest. We are WSCA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.